Welcome back. You're listening to This Week on RTE Radio 1 with Justin McCarthy. A planned work to rule by 80,000 healthcare staff, which was set to go ahead tomorrow, has been suspended after 25 hours of talks at the Workplace Relations Commission. The dispute centred on staffing levels in the health service, including measures introduced by the HSE last year to control its budgets and cap full-time staff numbers. Unions sought the conversion of hundreds of agency jobs to full-time positions, to introduce more training programmes, and that permanent jobs would be offered to the 2025 graduates in a range of positions. In a moment, we'll hear from the HSE Chief Executive Bernard Gloucester. But a short time ago, I spoke with Philney Hay, the General Secretary of the Irish Nurses and Midwives Organisation, and she told me what this deal will mean.
Well, I suppose firstly, Justin, as you know, our members and members of four of the unions were taking industrial action tomorrow morning. So we have avoided that situation, which is good news insofar as the proposals that have been made can now be considered by our members to see if they agree that they can accept them. So what we were looking for in this process was to get the input of the people who work in the health service in the workforce planning process. And I think largely that has been achieved. And that's important because in health service, particularly, working short is not an option. That's bad for patients and it's certainly bad for the people we represent.
Okay, but you've said in the past, I think, that there are around 3,000 posts which were effectively lost because they were vacant at the time that the pay and numbers strategy was introduced by the HSE. Will any of those posts be restored under the proposals which were agreed overnight?
Yes, what we're saying is that we will now look to see exactly how many posts were lost, and in the meantime, have any been filled? And then in getting ready for our workforce plan, which we hope to engage with the HSE if these proposals are passed before the end of April, those posts will be front and centre in being restored for the purpose of the workforce.
Okay, but will there be any additional recruitment then this year beyond, I think, the 6,500 staff which the HSE had already promised to recruit?
No, the HSE are adamant that their ceiling is a fixed ceiling. The thing that we found most interesting was that last year's ceiling wasn't filled. We find that to be extraordinary when we know our members were working short. So we want a better process of setting out how the workforce is recruited and how the workforce is assigned, because it's not an option to have 3,000 posts that weren't filled in a calendar year. That's just extraordinary and shouldn't happen.
But if you're not achieving any additional recruitment, then did you achieve anything in these talks?
What we achieved was we got cover for maternity leave, which is a very big feature in our workforces in the health service. For example, as you know, most of our workers are women workers. And when they go on maternity leave, it is now very regular that those posts are not filled. So there's now an agreement that all of the maternity leave posts will be filled. And that's extraordinarily important. It's important for our members and for members of other unions.
You also asked, I think, for the graduates from 2025, the class of 2025, to be given full-time jobs in the health service, in health, social care and nursing and midwifery posts. Was that agreed?
Yes, they will all be appointed permanently when they qualify in 2025, at the end of this year, at different times throughout the year, they're guaranteed permanent posts, which is, again, very important. We want to retain our graduates. We want to keep them working in Ireland. And this will go a long way towards that.
There was a proposal last year that 960 positions in the HSE, which had been filled by agency staff, would be converted to full-time positions. I know that featured as part of this agreement as well. Half of those posts have been filled to date. When will the remainder of those posts now be filled, will be converted from agency to permanent staff?
Well, what we've asked for is that agency staff who have been unable to get permanent posts, that they would be converted if they have a year's service. So this is a conversion process for agency workers. Again, very important, because many agency workers would prefer to be directly hired, but because of the moratorium, they've been unable to get those posts. So we think this will clean that up. The dependency on agency is way too high. The spend on agency is way too high. Every time an agency worker is employed in the HSE, it's 25% more expensive than a direct hire. So that's ridiculous. And again, what we've tried to do in this agreement is put the focus on directly hiring, giving jobs to people in the HSE, and ensuring that the organisations like ourselves and other trade unions have a say in how that's done.
OK, you went to the wire with these talks, 25 hours of talks in the last day, threatening industrial action, which has now been averted. You got more consultation, maternity cover, and the conversion of agency staff to permanent positions. Did you get enough to convince your members to accept what's on offer?
Well, I think that's for our members to decide. They will have to consider these proposals, and we will ballot our members.
Will you be recommending acceptance from your point of view?
Well, our executive meet tomorrow. They met this morning very early at 7 o'clock to agree to suspend the industrial action. And they meet again tomorrow to consider the proposals in more detail. They will make a decision at that point as to whether they will recommend or not.
That was Phil Ní Hay, General Secretary of the Irish Nurses and Midwives Organisation, speaking to us a short time ago. We're joined now from our Limerick studio by the Chief Executive of the HSE, Bernard Gloucester, who attended those marathon talks at the WRC overnight. Bernard Gloucester, thank you for speaking to us today after what has been a very long night, I'm sure.
Good afternoon, Justin.
The good news out of all of this is that the threatened work to rule has been suspended. So from a patient perspective, will all services be provided as normal by the HSE now from tomorrow?
Yes, Justin, absolutely. There were two significant events that were imminent coming into this week. Firstly was a work to rule, or what's called a work to contract. That unfortunately does have a significant negative impact on how we can run the service. So that's averted, and that means a lot of services and interventions will continue to go ahead. And the other, much more concerning indeed, was the notification I received last Wednesday or Thursday morning of a formal work stoppage at Our Lady of Lourdes Hospital in Drogheda. So that's now averted. And both of those would have had a significant impact. And there's absolutely no doubt that while, yes, I left the WRC after 25 hours of straight talks this morning, and I'm very grateful to the WRC, there is no doubt, I'm very happy that this action has been averted. And the real winners here, of course, are the public.
Okay. How did it come to this? Because you had to be forced into a corner with a threat of industrial action before agreeing to do something like covering maternity leave for staff, something which would be taken for granted in most workplaces.
Yes, just to be clear, we didn't have a policy of not covering maternity leave. You mentioned agency workers, which we have and which are a normal feature of a health service and of the size that we have. So agency workers in part would have been covering aspects of maternity leave. So there was certainly no blanket on maternity leave. What we agreed with the unions, both the unions who are in dispute, the five unions that we met this morning, the PNA, who have a separate parallel dispute, and indeed unions representing healthcare workers who are not in dispute, what we've agreed is to give a very particular focus to speeding up the process where we can of replacing staff who are on maternity leave. However, that remains within the overall number of the pay and number strategy, which I published last June and which I think you and I have discussed on this programme many times.
So does that mean then that while you say you're committed to accelerating maternity leave cover and agency conversion, does that not come at an extra cost?
No, so what happens is, Justin, is the pay and number strategy in very simple terms means we've a funded workforce for permanent staff. We've a funded workforce for agency, which we're trying to reduce in favour of increasing permanent staff, and we've a funded workforce for overtime. When you put those three together, you have a pay envelope linked to a number of staff. What we have agreed is that on any given day, there will be vacancies in the health service, or what we might call jobs in the hopper between the time someone leaves and the time someone comes. And if we don't have enough of headroom in the normal count to replace agency, we will temporarily borrow from other vacancies to fill either the agency conversion that was doing maternity leave, or to hopefully directly employ somebody to fill maternity leave. So there certainly is an additional benefit, I think, to the service and the workforce by the measure we've agreed this morning. But as I say, the point is what fundamentally was agreed in a very long and detailed process was a whole series of processes and engagements improvements and improvements around how we all, staff and management, do our work, but within the funded workforce of the health service, which is a funded workforce that has increased by almost 25% in the last 5 years. And thanks indeed to the support of Minister Carol McNeill, this year net growth will be another 6,500 jobs.
But can you confirm then now that there won't be any additional recruitment beyond what you've already promised, which is a 6,500 posts, and that there won't be any additional cost as a result of the deal agreed overnight?
Yeah, there won't be additional cost. What there will be is full recruitment within the approved pay and number strategy, and within that, an effort in that, in fact, to reduce cost by converting agency staff where we can. And I think in your conversation with Phil Nihay, you pointed to the fact we're about halfway through what we had approved. We're ready to go the full distance on that. And I spoke with the Minister this morning, and we're certainly ready, if that's successful, going into 2026, to look at another conversion programme.
And that's the conversion of agency to full-time staff.
That's correct.
So when will the full, you'd promised to convert 960 agency staff to full-time posts, half done already. When will the other half be completed?
As soon as we can. It's not a question of a want on our part. Can I say that people sometimes forget there are two things about agency workers that are important. We do need a certain amount of them because of the nature of the shift work we do. It's simply not possible to have no agency. And the other thing is, and I think all unions would recognise this, there are people who are members of unions who prefer to be agency workers. It gives them a greater flexibility and difference in their own life choices and lifestyle. And so we will always have an amount. But as soon as people are ready to convert in the areas that we've prioritised, we will convert them, and we keep doing so.
Does this agreement allow you now to proceed with planned roster changes so that more staff in the health service can work at weekends and during busy periods like bank holidays?
So this agreement itself was about the concerns of the unions, both the unions in dispute and the unions not in dispute, in regards to the pay number strategy and how it operated, not so much the limit itself. It didn't focus on the 5/7 rostering, but there is a separate proposal going to the unions on that, as I've said already. We've already started to successfully map out the deployment of staff for 5/7 rostering, including consultant and other grades of staff, and the benefits of that were seen very clearly in the past couple of weeks. And indeed, in the weekends and weekdays since the St. Patrick's weekend, we've seen a much better performance on the overall patient flow system that you and I would see on the trolley numbers every day.
All right. A work in progress then. Bernard Gloucester, Chief Executive of the HSE, thank you for speaking to us from our Limerick studio today.